The nearly 18-month campaign to be the next mayor of Phoenix ended last night as Kate Gallego defeated Daniel Valenzuela by about 16 points in the runoff election. The former councilwoman will face challenges, including the next steps for light rail and management of the renovation of Talking Stick Resort Arena. Gallego will be sworn in on March 21st. That's 1 week from tomorrow. And she sits down with me for a few minutes right now. Mayor-elect, first, what will be your top priority when you take the reins of the city of Phoenix next week?
My background is in economic development. I worked to push the economy forward before I ran for office, while I served on city council. And you will not be surprised to know that's priority number one. I want to make sure we're moving towards a knowledge-based economy. There are some troubling signs on the national economy. I want to make sure that Phoenix is prepared if we do have a little bit of a downturn, but also that we're thinking long-term about what kind of jobs we're going to need to have a decade from now, a generation from now.
There have been some critics who've talked about the importance of regionalism, of course, but the Phoenix really needs to be the leader. And some have said, well, you know, we see a lot of jobs going to the suburbs when it comes to economic development. Do you think Phoenix needs to be sort of the leader of this region, or can Phoenix be a leader on its own? Where do you see how Phoenix plays well with others?
The valley rises and falls together. I was really honored Mayor Giles came and joined us to celebrate last night, and we have already talked about how we'll be able to partner together. So it's a win for Phoenix if Mesa is adding additional jobs. But we manage so many of the key economic assets for our entire region. For example, Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport is the biggest economic engine, and that's a service we provide in partnership with other cities, but the city of Phoenix needs to take the lead.
How important is downtown to you? Obviously, I want to ask you about the arena and whatnot. How much does that ultimately drive how residents feel about this city?
As I campaigned throughout the city, I heard from residents that they wanted to make sure I prioritized every part of the city, that each corner needed great assets, public safety. We want strong parks in our downtown, but we also want them in every portion of our city, strong libraries with Burton Barr, our downtown library, but in every corner of our city as well. A good city ought to be able to do both. Downtown is our area that is the front door to Phoenix, what the people see first most often, and is a huge hub. I hope to make it a more education-focused downtown. Bringing ASU and our other university partners to our downtown has done so much to create a vibrant core. One of my priorities will be updating the downtown strategic plan and making sure we have a clear vision for where downtown is going. But as I talked about with the other areas of the city I've already mentioned, it can't be only downtown. It has to be working for Phoenix in every corner.
One area of some tension was the Talking Stick Resort Arena renovation. Ultimately, now that it's been decided, how do you go forward in terms of your relationship, the city's relationship with the Suns and the management of the arena and whatnot? What are your thoughts generally about that?
As you know, one of the issues that divided me from my opponent was that I do not support public funding of professional sports arenas. I think they should pay for their own facilities, and we have other priorities. In January, the city council voted to move forward with putting additional money into the Phoenix Suns arena. That is going to be the policy of the city, even if it wasn't my choice. And so I'll work with my colleagues to make sure if we're doing it, we do it well. One of the first decisions the city will make after I am sworn in is who will be our partner and our consultant as we oversee that construction. And I'll want someone who will make sure that we get our bang for our buck, that we get as much benefit to the taxpayers as possible. It's no secret the Phoenix Suns did not support me in this race, but I'm going to sit down with their leadership and we're going to do a good job for our city.
Light rail expansion, many would argue, has been great for the Valley, but there's also been tension related to that when it comes to South Phoenix. What's the next step as far as you're concerned as the new leader of the city?
We need to make sure that as we expand light rail, we learn from projects in the past. We want to do more to assist our small businesses and all of our businesses. We want to make it as easy as possible for our residents. I want to work to make sure it benefits the people who are in the community today. Mm-hmm. So it will be a lot of work out in the community. The day before the election, I was knocking doors, asking for voters' support right along the light rail alignment and understanding from our residents in that alignment what they want. So I've learned a lot on this campaign that I'll be able to take to make what I hope will be the most successful light rail project we've had yet.
The last policy question for you generally is about how people get along with other people. And we know the council for a time, at least from the outside, seemed relatively smooth. I'm certainly sure there were fights behind the scenes based on personalities of a couple of folks. This is going to be a different council than you served on for quite a while. I mean, there were, based on your movement to run for mayor, based on your opponent's move to run for mayor, there are different bodies, there are different faces there. How do you work to bring this council together, knowing there nothing's going to be necessarily universal, but how do you move forward in a positive way with this group?
I believe we all ran for office because we want to make the city stronger. We don't all have the same vision of what that means, but there is a lot of common ground. At the city of Phoenix, most decisions are still made unanimously. I want to sit down with each colleague individually and talk about what I've learned during the campaign and hear their priorities. I think we're going to find a lot of overlap. I also believe that debate is healthy, that you make better decisions as policymakers when you have discussions and different points of view. So as long as we can do that in a civil way without personal attacks, it will strengthen Phoenix.
Arizona, fortunately, has been a place that has had a lot of female leadership. City of Phoenix, of course, Margaret Hance is known for having been mayor a number of decades ago. But is that important to you as someone in terms of driving the city of Phoenix as a more diverse place, as a more welcoming place?
When I am sworn in on March 21st, I'll be the only woman leading one of the 10 largest cities in the country. I hope that's a point of pride for Phoenix, not because I'm female, but because in Arizona, your background does not seem to matter as much as whether you can get results. I've throughout the campaign asked myself why there weren't more women as mayors, and I don't know that there was a clear answer. But I do think in Arizona it wasn't about my gender as much as it might have been in other communities, but about my record on the city council and my vision for where we're going. That translates throughout our community. Phoenix is a city of opportunity. You can move here and become a leader in this community. You can be born here with nothing and still have huge opportunity, not be defined by where you went to high school or what your last name is. We need to tell that story nationally, that Phoenix is a place where anyone can rise with hard work. And in cases where that's not true right now, we also need to push to open more doors.
Phoenix Mayor-elect Kate Gallego, congratulations. Thanks for joining us on such little sleep.
Thank you so much for having me.